inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today found a great deal on a potential rental property. She put it under contract, and while she was doing her due diligence on the property, she kind of through a fluke figured out that this house may have been a former meth house. She did some testing on it and figured out that there actually were really dangerous chemicals that were lurking behind the walls, and someone could have gotten really sick if they moved into the property, and she would have had a real mess on her hands. So I want to see how she found out the history of the house and what she's doing about it. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 60 seconds and we'll meet Margaret from Tennessee.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Can we quench the world's thirst for clean and safe water? This is something the new podcast Waterline explores. Waterline is a new podcast created to communicate the many facets of water. If you're looking to learn and explore about economic, political, social, behavioral, technological, and environmental aspects of water around the globe, Waterline Podcast covers them all. I checked out the episode called Water Makes the World Go Round. It's a real interesting look into the water economy. If you want to check it out, just search Waterline Podcast on iTunes or in your favorite Android podcast app. Hey, Margaret. So why don't we start with you telling us just a little bit about yourself and how you got started buying rental properties?
Sure. So I had always kind of had an idea that I would get into rental properties. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I always thought I had to get into the much higher end rental property. So that was going to be a future goal. Mm-hmm. And then I did a little bit of research and I heard some stuff on your podcast and some other podcasts about rental properties that made me realize that I didn't have to start with a $300,000 property.
Right.
That made absolutely no sense.
Right. Yeah. Those
so
properties
just
like
clicked
that
in my head.
Yeah, like those $300,000 properties just never seem to work out. That's
no,
awesome.
Not so, at all. I was thinking that, you know, when I moved on, that I would use my current property as my first rental property, but it wouldn't make any sense
right.
at all.
That's
so it was
awesome.
A huge light bulb above my head moment.
So how long has it been? When did you buy your first place?
We bought our first place last summer.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
We bought one last summer and we bought another one later last year and we're working on our third one now.
That is awesome. Congratulations. That is, I love that you took action and you made things happen. So let's talk about this third property because this is, I think, the most interesting part of your story. So you emailed me the other day and you were telling me about this property that you were buying that looks like it was a meth house. So why don't you take us back and tell us how you found the property and what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were working on finding our third property. We found this house that came up for sale and it was all newly remodeled. It was absolutely beautiful. 3-bedroom, 2-bath in a really good neighborhood, good school zone. It really checked all the boxes of things we were looking for. We were familiar with the neighborhood because we actually owned a property a few streets down. So the moment this one came up, we were there the same day it hit the market. We went to go look at it. So we looked at it. It, again, checked all the boxes of things that we were looking for. We put an offer in that day, and we got the house under contract. So
awesome.
We were extremely happy. As far as we were concerned, this was going to be one of our best rental properties, and we were done. It was just a matter of closing on this property at that point. But the first thing that, and the only thing at this point that tipped us off that we needed to do a little more digging was we had looked up the tax records before we put the offer in on the property. So we knew that there were 3 names on the deed. Mm-hmm. And when we got the contract back, there were only 2 signatures on the contract.
Okay. Well, take us back. For anyone that doesn't know, how did you find the tax record? How did you find that that information?
Yeah, so every city is a little bit different, but particularly if you're in a bigger city, you should be able to go onto your government's website and look at the tax records.
Okay.
And so once you go into the tax records, you can typically view all the sales history, the tax assessing on the property, so you can see what historically the taxes have been. And you can also see the deed history, so you can see if anybody's transferred deeds, if anybody has sold it, and you can see how the property is deeded as well. In this case, we knew it was right to survivorship, which becomes important later in the story.
Yeah, for anyone looking at properties, if you're looking to make an offer, definitely check out the tax record. There's so much great information that you can find on there. So you saw that there was three names on the tax record, but only two names on the contract. Now, right away, that's kind of maybe a red flag that there's three names on there. Were they all related? Like that's,
they were all, okay. Yeah, they were all related. So eventually we found out it was parents and an adult child.
Okay. And so
the adult child's signature was not on the property.
Okay. So you asked the realtor, I guess that they were working with the realtor, right? You weren't dealing with the owners directly. And so you asked, well, how come there's three people on the tax record, but only two people on the contract? Right.
Yeah. So we had our realtor go back to them and ask that question immediately. They came back and said that the person that was missing had passed away.
Okay. Okay.
Which is pretty common. We knew it was right to survivorship, so we weren't worried about an estate problem. The only thing we needed to be sure of was that this was in fact the truth before we started paying a lot of money for inspections and appraisals, et cetera.
Yeah.
But we wanted to be kind of sensitive. We knew we were dealing with a family that had just lost a family member. So we didn't want to immediately go back and demand a death certificate.
Right, right, right.
We were trying to be a little bit sensitive. We figured the easiest way to do it would be to find an obituary online.
Good thinking.
They're typically very easy to find.
And so you found one and you verified that the person had died?
So we actually could not find an obituary for this person. Huh. So that led us to keep digging a lot deeper, and you'd be amazed at what's available online. So what we did find out, though, was that this person had a very serious drug problem.
How did you find that out?
So the Google search that came back, we obviously had this person's full name, kept saying, you know, criminal record, criminal record, criminal record. So we didn't really care. We weren't renting to this person. But the more stuff we saw, the more it just, there were keywords that were associated with drugs.
Okay.
So our first thought that popped into our mind, and I don't know why, was it can't be meth. So I wasn't familiar at the time with the ramifications of it. I just knew it was bad.
Right.
So, we really tried to exhaust whatever public records were available to us. So typically you can pull police records. Those are public record. But when we called the police station, they were actually sealed because it was under an active investigation.
Okay.
Now, so we did find out, though, that the cops had been to the property 27 times in 2017.
27 times. Wow. Now, what? So, I mean, obviously this house, it turns out that it was a meth house, but what made you go there that's a big leap to go from this person has a drug problem to this person is cooking meth in this house I'm trying to buy. So like what tipped you off that this could be a problem?
You know, I was raised in the rural South and meth had been a big problem over the past like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So even in schools, you know, they were taught about like the ramifications of it. And I know opioids are the drugs that everybody's talking about today. But opioids don't have the same effect on properties the same way that meth does. So I don't know what was the thing that just made us have to rule this out, but we knew that we couldn't go through with the purchase of the property until we had a definitive answer that there was no meth in the house.
Did you find something online, like find anything that said meth or...
No. So, okay. I mean, eventually we had kind of gone through a list of like how to rule out meth and how to spot a meth house. And so on the internet, there's a lot of checklists. And unfortunately, this property was all brand new remodel. Everything in this property had been redone. So if you're looking for, yellow stains on the walls or burns on the countertops or a smell in the house, or one thing even said like large amounts of industrial trash, because the ingredients to make it, they need a lot of them. And there are things you don't normally find in people's trash. But this house had fresh paint, had fresh countertops, cabinetry was all new, all the carpet had been redone, so there was no smell in the house. This house was beautiful. There was absolutely nothing that we could have pointed to in the property itself.
Okay. So then what tipped you off that it was a meth house?
So at that point, we were pretty far down this hole already. So yeah. We had already an inspection. We had the inspector come out to the property. We gave him a heads up so he could take the necessary precautions that we were going to look into it. And even he said, we don't have meth in this area. I mean, when I envision a meth house, I think of a dilapidated trailer in the woods.
Yeah,
in the middle
Breaking
of
Bad. Right.
So yeah, this is a nice property in a good neighborhood in the middle of a big city.
Okay.
So we really thought at this point we were being paranoid. Even our realtor, who wasn't familiar with this before this whole ordeal, probably thought we were crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we decided that we couldn't sleep at night buying this house until we had a definitive no on this. So we found online a swab test that you can do. And so these tests are actually pretty cheap. When you're not overnighting them, they're about $30. You can actually buy them on Amazon. We bought them directly from the company. There's a couple different companies that do it. So we went ahead and overnighted this test kit. And when it arrived, we went into the property and we actually talked to a restoration company, because remember, this house was completely remodeled.
Right.
So we weren't sure where we would be able to find it.
Yeah, so there's new countertops. I'm sure the walls were freshly painted, new floors. Mm-hmm. So, like, what could possibly be in the house? Like, was everything replaced?
So a lot of stuff was replaced, but paint cannot contain the drug.
Okay.
So if you paint a property, it will temporarily seal it. So if I had swabbed the walls, they probably would have came back negative. 6 months from now, we would have gotten a positive reading on those walls.
Okay.
So, you need to replace the carpet. You need to, and I could talk a little bit about that later, about what you have to do to rehab one of these houses. But the rehab or the remodel that was done on this property was not to fix the problem.
Okay.
So the guy who we talked to from the restoration company told us that if the duct work in the house had not been replaced, that was the best place to check. Because if there was going to be meth in the property, you could definitely find it in the duct work.
Right. That makes sense. So, yeah, because no one's going to switch out the duct work on a rehab. So
and if they had replaced the duct work, then that would have really been a red flag, because you don't normally do that on a remodel where you're just getting a house looking good to sell.
Unless, I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt, but unless they maybe thought that they were trying to fix the problem. Like they knew that their son was doing this in the house and they were trying to fix the house up to sell it.
Sure. And it definitely, I mean, when you look, they had done a lot of things that would help, but a full rehab has to be done by a certified specialist. All of the waste that comes out of the house has to be disposed of as hazmat. It's really nothing that you can DIY.
Right. Okay. So then, all right. So you do the test. So did you have the inspector go into the ductwork to do the test there?
So we actually did the test. This was after the inspection.
Okay.
The timing didn't work out. So we went back to the house and did the test on the ductwork. We actually did the return air vent.
Okay.
We did a 4-panel swab and it came back very positive.
Wow. Okay. So
yeah, we were absolutely shocked.
Now, I just wonder though, I mean, because obviously, I mean, you've done a lot of research and you pretty quickly figured out that there's a certain way that you have to rehab the house. Do you think that the owners just didn't know, or do you think that they were trying to pull a fast one?
I have no idea. Okay. They didn't live on the property. I mean, yeah. They definitely knew their son had a drug problem,
right.
But if they knew what type, and he probably just wasn't into, just one.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So, I mean, I'm sure the house didn't look great. I'm sure he didn't maintain it. So a lot of what they did was cosmetic. And I have no idea at what they were doing.
Now, if you didn't know, if you didn't do this test and you had bought this house, you'd put a renter in there, would the tenants have probably gotten sick from all the chemicals?
Yeah, the ramifications of it are horrible, and it depends on the level of contamination in the property, but it can range from your pets can die to your children can have neurological damage.
Wow.
It affects people's kidneys. All of this damage is pretty serious, and it's permanent.
Okay. So, yeah, you definitely don't want to mess around with that. So now what happened? Like, so you are still moving forward with the purchase of this house, right?
Yeah. So as soon as we had the positive test, we immediately, because like we said, we were absolutely shocked. We immediately thought, how could this possibly be a false positive? It has to be a false positive.
Yeah.
So we called the owner of the test company and we're like, listen, they just rehabbed this house. So, you know, a lot of chemicals that go into the manufacturing of this drug are chemicals that you would have at your house. So a paint thinner is one of them. Well, they just had freshly painted the walls. What if the swab test had picked up the paint thinner they were using? And he laughed at us and told us that it was definitely not a false positive.
Okay.
The test does not test for the ingredients. It tests for the finished product.
Okay. So you definitely got a problem there.
Definitely.
So now why do you want to move forward with this house? Like, is this, is this something that you can easily fix, or is this going to be a major problem and a major liability?
Yeah, it's not something that's easily fixable. So at this point where we are is we've got the sellers doing a state certified laboratory test.
Okay.
And so that's going to give much, much more detailed readings, and we'll be able to tell exactly the level of contamination. There's a big difference if he was manufacturing or if he was smoking. So even the use of it in a property can contaminate the property, but to a lesser extent.
Right. Okay.
So we'll really make our decision on what we're going to do with the property when we get those laboratory results back. Because if the contamination level is low enough, you can have a state certified hazmat rehab person come in. And they can get rid of the ductwork. They can actually chemically treat the walls so you're not ripping out drywall. With a low level of contamination, it's not cheap, but it can be done. With a high level of contamination, you are talking about basically ripping the house down to studs.
Okay. So I guess you got to wait for the results to come back, but I mean, this could be a huge opportunity negotiation-wise, that if you can get this done cheaper than the owners think they can get it done, you might be able to renegotiate a really good price on this house.
Yeah. So in my market, there is no negotiation at all. It's a really tough market. This might be the only thing that opens the door for that type of conversation.
Because they're not going to be able to sell the house. I mean, now that they know there's a meth problem, they've got to disclose that. So
their realtor has to disclose that. Interestingly enough, what we learned through this process is that their realtor has to disclose it just because he is a realtor. But there would be nothing stopping them from firing their realtor and hiring a new one.
They've not
lived in the property in the past 6 months, so they're not obligated to do a disclosure form. And my state does not have any laws that states that at this point they would have to disclose it to a future buyer.
Yeah, I guess that's something that varies state by state. Like where I live in Virginia, you as a seller, you would have to disclose if you knew something like that. But I guess in your state, you don't have to. So, I mean, that just varies. So that's just something for people to keep in mind if you're trying to sell a meth house in the future.
Because our thought was, you know, when we got these test results back, if we were going to just walk away from the property completely, how could we stop them from selling this house to an unsuspecting family in the future?
Right.
Stuff is going really fast in our market, and I could just picture this would be the perfect house for a small family, someone coming in and buying this house. So actually what we learned, and it's really disheartening, is that the cops don't care at this point because there's no crime involved in the property right now.
Right.
There are state and national databases that keep track of contaminated houses, but the only people that can get them added to the database are the police, and they don't care at this point. Right. So, and we learned all this from the rehab person because we were asking, how do we make sure this doesn't happen? And he essentially told us there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I mean, it's almost like those databases are worthless because if you rely on a database to tell you if a house is a former meth house, it doesn't take into account houses like this that aren't in there yet. And also, after the house has been rehabbed, that information really isn't useful anymore. If the house is safe, the fact that it was a meth house 10 years ago really doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I think you can get a house removed once it's been certified clean again.
Okay.
But I'm not sure about that. But
yeah.
In this case, you know, we wanted them to do the laboratory tests so that both them and us, both of us were aware of just the level of contamination that we were dealing with.
Right.
And the rehab is very capital intensive. It's not at all cheap. So it might be, and I'm just speculating, it might be that they don't have the capital to do the rehab.
Yeah. Now, is this something...
So that would be an opportunity to negotiate.
Now, is this something that you want to get involved with? Because, I mean, it seems like there's a big unknown on what this is going to cost, what this is going to entail. Are you sure that you want to get into this rather than just walk away?
Yeah, I mean, in any other market, we'd probably just walk away.
Yeah.
But this could be an opportunity for a really good deal. We won't get into the contract. We won't get into it until we find out exactly what the contamination levels are.
Right,
we've already got a rehab guy that can give us a pretty accurate quote as soon as we have those laboratory results back.
Awesome. Well, definitely keep us updated. I'm curious to see how this is all going to work out. So yeah, definitely, definitely let us know. And this has been really eye-opening.
It's amazing the people I've talked to in the industry. I've talked to someone who's been in real estate for 20 years and didn't even have an idea that this could be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I never in a million years would have thought to have a house tested for meth. But, it seems like this is probably a good idea if you have a weird feeling or maybe you don't know the history of the house.
Yeah. And I mean, the tests are cheap. If you think about the type of investment you're making and the ramifications of it, the risk is really small and it could potentially help you dodge a pretty big bullet. And it's not just for houses. One of the things that we came across when we were doing research is used cars, particularly if they've been, I think they're a bit like repossessed by the police and then they're sold. Drug cars are sold that way. So if anybody has used in the vehicle is contaminated.
Oh my God.
So
wow.
You're not going to have the same level of exposure because you don't live in your car, but it is something to keep in mind.
And that would be the same test for a car that you would do the same test you did for the house. Do you remember the name of the test kit that you used?
Yeah, it was Acumeth.
Okay.
And they have a website, and I think they're also the one that sells through Amazon. My search history is probably going to get the cops to come knocking on my door here real soon.
I bet.
But I will be testing every property that we have a contract on, regardless of stereotypes as far as if it's in a good neighborhood or if it's a good house or anything like that.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Well, Margaret, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling your story. For the month of June, I'm experimenting with doing two episodes a week, so we'll be back with the next episode on Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.